Well, the first thing that came to my mind before I began this presentation was that for some people who have never heard this kind of pastime, it may seem a little odd that Krishna and the gopis appear to have never met before. The mood is as if they have never met before, and yet they allude to having met before. So this becomes appears a contradiction. But the explanation or reconciliation is that in the transcendental world, as we were hearing Srila Sanatana Goswami describing, in that transcendental world there is no past, present and future as we know time. So every time that Radha and Krishna are to meet, it's as if they have never met before. Just like a simple example, when someone gives you a gift and it's all wrapped up very nicely and it has a ribbon on the top and there's so much excitement, I wonder what's inside. And then you open it up and then you've seen what's inside. And so then if they say to you tomorrow, here it is, you think, oh, I've seen that before. It has become already part of your sense of reality. However, for Radha and Krishna, it's always like a gift. So this was one point. Another point I thought to explain was that you'll hear as the play goes on that everybody speaks double meanings. They're saying one thing, but actually they're meaning another thing. Sometimes I'll give you insights if it's relevant to what the double meaning is. But this is the nature of the way that Radha and Krishna speak. It's very indirect. So they're sometimes speaking words that aren't really true. But they're very playful exchanges and they're all based on love.
Do you know why they always speak indirectly?
Because it is very pleasing. Krishna likes it.
Yes. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, he calls it parokshavat, that he likes things that are indirectly, subtly spoken. It makes him happy.
Makes him happy. And now here's another thing I'm giving you in advance, that later on in this drama, you will meet...
Do you know why it makes him happy?
No. Why does it make him happy?
Because it makes him happy.
I never thought of that.
Because that's just the way he is. Certain things make him happy.
Okay.
And certain things don't.
Okay, well, here's another thing that makes him happy. You'll hear as we go on in this drama that not only is there Srimati Radharani and her friends, but there's somebody else, there's Chandravali, and we've already heard that she also loves Krishna, and she has her friends. Now, you're going to notice that they sometimes, these girls, seem to be full of envy, pride, and competitiveness. So someone may ask, how can these qualities be present in the spiritual world? Now here is a quote. It says, someone may ask, why does Krishna take pleasure, as you'll hear later on, in the ignoble sport of struggling to subdue the pride of quarrelsome women? And the answer is, because this is one of his most favorite activities. It makes him happy.
Why does it make him happy?
Because he is the topmost connoisseur of conjugal reciprocation. Hence his dealings produce unequaled joy. Okay. Do we have some music tonight? Okay. Is everyone ready? Is this a
totally ready?
Is this seat an empty seat, or are we waiting for someone?
Krishna Mika.
All right. So we can begin. He will indirectly come. Yes. Yes. Please begin. So as you remember, can you get the volume right? Please tell us when the volume is appropriate for the speaker. Yeah. So, as you remember, at the end of the last scene, Vishakha came upon Lalita and Radha, and Radha was very unhappy, and Vishakha had something in her hand, and she gave it to Radha. And they went to a beautiful garden in the courtyard to have a look and see what this gift that was going to cure all Radha's unhappiness, what that gift was. So at the beginning of Act 2, Nandamukhi enters onto the stage and she says, Purnamasi ordered me. She said, O Nandamukhi, I heard that my child Radha is feeling very ill. A little louder. So, Purnamasi ordered me, O Nandamukhi, I heard that my child Radha is feeling very ill. Please go to her and learn the truth of her condition. Nandi says, that is why I am now going to Mukhara's house. And she begins to go, and as she's walking along, she sees Mukhara coming. And Mukhara is crying and crying and crying. And Mukhara comes in saying, alas, 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 I am ruined. I am very, very unfortunate. And Nandamukhi says, pious Mukhara, why do you weep? And Mukhara glances at Nandamukhi and says, child, it is because of Radha's suffering. Nandamukhi, why? What does she do? Mukhara, child, she talks like a mad woman. She says, oh cruel bumblebees, you should not blacken my flower garland, I am only a girl. And why do you joke like this? Go far away from this courtyard. Awake and asleep, talking in this crazy way, the lotus-eyed girl suffers day and night. Nandamukhi says to herself, that talk is not the sign of madness. It is the sign of good fortune, of being overcome by Krishna's pastimes. Mukhara continues and says, child, I will go to the noble lady and tell her. Now you go to the Vatasi grove and watch Radha. Nandamukhi exits and Mukhara also leaves. Then served by her two friends, Lalita and Vishakha, Radha enters. Radha is very, very, very disturbed. She says to herself, O wounded heart, simply by looking at a picture, you have fallen wildly in love. Lalita and Vishakha say, Radha, we see how you suffer. Why will you not tell us the truth? Radha sighs, oh, and she turns her head away. Vishakha then confronts Radha and says, friend, why do these sufferings cut to pieces the peacefulness of your heart? Why do you sprinkle your red garments with a flood of tears? Oh, fear-faced girl like a yellow champak flower, why do you tremble? Why does this trembling break the steadiness of your body? Please tell the truth. It is not good to hide the truth from your friends. Radha says, cruel Vishakha, are you not ashamed to question me in this way? Vishakha becomes worried and says, perhaps I have offended you, but I do not remember it. Radha says, merciless girl, why do you talk like that? Remember and look. Vishakha says, Even with great effort, I do not remember. Radhika says, crazy girl, you threw me into a lake of eternal burning fire. Vishakha says, how is that? Radhika, with malice and impatience, says, crooked liar, friend of the snake in this picture, stay, stay. Overcome, then Radha says, splendid like sapphires and decorated with a peacock feather, a youthful boy stepped out of that picture, and in the middle of her words, her voice becomes choked. Her two friends look at each other with raised eyebrows. Radha continues, she says, when he smiled and moved his eyebrows, my heart became mad. The fire in my heart shone like the moon, and then the moon of my heart entered fire. Lalita said, did this happen in a dream? Radhika said, was it a dream? Or was I awake? Was it night? Or was it day? I do not know. The light from the dark moon of that teenage boy filled my heart with flames. Vishakha, with feeling, says, oh, Radha, your heart was bewildered for a moment. Radhika indignantly says, faithless girl, stop. Why try to cover up your offense? Then she says, decorated with designs drawn in kumkum, that mischievous boy sat under a kadamba tree and saying, no, 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 I pushed him away. Then that rogue forcibly touched me with the flower petal from his blossoming vine of his arms. Longing for the touch of the hand of that boy, like a lotus petal, I trembled. Where was I? Who was I? What was I doing? Friend, I do not know. Then to herself, Radha says, wicked heart, monkey, are you not ashamed to love three people simultaneously? You love Krishna, and you also love the flute player. And now you love this dark youthful boy. Oh heart, when I kill my body, I will also kill wretched, hopeless you. Lalita says, look, springtime, the prime minister of Kamadev has come. Who will save us from him? Radhika says, let the breezes from the sandalwood mountains play. Let the playful cuckoos sweetly sing. And let the buzzing bees attack my heart. Friend, they will help me to end my troubles. Lalita and Vishakha, weeping, say, Why were you attacked by these terrible sufferings? We do not understand the unusual longings in your heart. Radhika says, my dear friend, these palpitations in Shirada's heart are extremely difficult to cure. Even if one applied some medicinal treatment, it would only end in defamation. I will tell you how you can cure me. If this flowering vine were wrapped around my neck like a noose and I was hanged, you could cure my disease of love. Lalita and Vishakha, disturbed, said, please don't say these horrible things. Don't break your friends' lives. Soon you will attain what you long for. And Radhika said, "Friends, you speak this advice only because you do not know the evil in wounded Radha's heart." Lalita and Vishakha, "Our dear friend has told us everything. No! Her great shame stops her from revealing it." Lalita and Vishakha, "We see your great love. How can shame hide it?" Then Radhika says, "Since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost all my good sense." And then there is another person who plays the flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness awakens in my heart. And again, there is still another person to whom my heart has become attached when I see his beautiful lightning effulgence in this picture. Therefore, I think that I am greatly condemned, for I have simultaneously become attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this." Lalita and Vishakha become happy and they say, "Radha, how can the beautiful girls of Gokul like you turn from Krishna and fall in love with someone else? Listen, these three persons are one. They are all the hero Krishna." Oh, Radha breathes a sigh of relief and she says to herself, "Oh heart, be peaceful, be peaceful. The man you long to attain is the home of all beings and all the worlds." Lalita and Vishakha say, "Oh beautiful, slender Radha, even if it anoints the directions with waves of sweet fragrance, a flowering vine lives in vain if the playful bumblebee does not drink its honey." Then suddenly, Nandamukhi enters. She sees the three girls and she says, "Why is Radha here?" Then she approaches Radha and says, "Oh glory, oh glory, oh glory to my dear friend." And Radhika conceals her emotions and she says, "Friend, I hope you are well." Nandimukhi says, "You are well, I can see." Then looking at Radha, she says to herself, "I don't see anything unusual. Perhaps she's hiding it. I will ask." Openly she says, "Oh beautiful, foolish girl, your heart is not anointed with great intelligence. You have not even stopped being a child. Friend, either your heart trembles in pain or you have met the Kamadev that lives in Vrindavan forest." Lalita says, "Suspicious girl, the trembling and standing up of hair that you see is caused by the cold southern wind. Why do you make these terrible accusations?" Nandimukhi smiles and says, "If that is why the hair of her body stands up, then why does the hair of our bodies not also stand up? Oh foolish girl, don't insult the southern wind in this way. The sidelong glance of he who is the king of heroes and he whose graceful eyebrows are worshipped by millions of Kamadevs now plays in this girl's heart." She says, "Tell the truth. When did you see Krishna, the king of Gokul?" Vishakha says, "It is true." Then Nandamukhi says, "A little past childhood, dear to your kin, and a delight to your husband. You enjoy pastimes in this world. But now you have fallen under the spell of a rake who enjoys with the gopas' wives. And now your heart has become mad in love with him. I will go very quickly and bring the noble Purnamasi. And she leaves. Radhika reflects for a moment and then she says, "Why do we pious girls disobey the auspicious rules of religion?" And she stops in the middle and then again speaks, this time filled with longing. She says, "How can I renounce the regal hero of the girls in this town of Gopas, a hero learned in the art of crooked glances?" Then enters Purnamasi, followed by Nandamukhi and Mukhara. Purnamasi says, "Mukhara, why do you think Radha suffers from an incurable disease?" Mukhara says, "Noble lady, please listen. Upon seeing a peacock feather in front of her, this girl suddenly begins trembling. And when sometimes she sees a necklace of gunja, she sheds tears and cries out loudly. I do not know what kind of new ecstatic influence has entered the heart of this poor girl. It has imbued her with the dancing attitude of a player creating wonderful, unprecedented dances on a stage." Purnamasi aside says, "This is the passion of intense new love." Then openly she says to Mukhara, "Mukhara, I understand this very well. Kamsa and the other crowns of the demons are searching for Radha, and they have made a ghost enter her body." Mukhara becomes horrified and says, "My noble lady, what is the remedy?" Purnamasi says, "The remedy is a glimpse of Krishna, the sworn enemy of all the demons." "Noble lady," says Mukhara, "this will not please the crooked Jyotila." Purnamasi says, "Mukhara, I will tell her. Jyotila, do not worry. With my mystic power, I will bring Krishna, but this Krishna will not be Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj." So Mukhara is quite flustered and horrified, and she offers her obeisances to go and tell Jyotila, and she exits. Then Purnamasi approaches Radha and says, "Child, now all my desires are fulfilled." Concealing her emotions, Radha offers her obeisances. Then Purnamasi says to herself, tasting the sweetness of love, she shyly hides. And then she says, "Her heart is tossed with waves of love." Then she tells Nandimukhi, "Just see how wonderful this is. Great sages meditate upon Krishna after being relieved of all material transactions, and with great difficulty they try to situate Krishna within their hearts. And opposed to this, this young girl is trying to withdraw her mind from Krishna so that she can apply it to the material activities of sense gratification. What a regrettable thing it is that this girl is trying to drive away from her heart the same Krishna who is sought after by great sages through severe penances and austerities." Nandamukhi says, "Noble lady, love like this bewilders me." Purnamasi says, "Child, what you say is true. This deep and ecstatic love is very rare and difficult to obtain. Listen. My dear, beautiful friend, if one develops love of Godhead, love for Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of God defeat the severe and fresh poison of a serpent. And yet, there is simultaneously transcendental bliss, which pours down and defeats the poisonous effect of the snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar upon one's head. Therefore, it is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarine. Let us go and test her love. They approach Radha. And Purnamasi says to her, Child, we would like to ask you some questions. Your self-control, love, pious deeds, and birth in a prosperous, pious family are all famous in Gokul. Radha, are you not ashamed to be so cruel to your friends? Distressed and embarrassed, Radha whispers in Lalita's ear. Then Lalita speaks on behalf of Radha and she says, Noble lady, Radha should explain herself. Radha says, O noble lady, I take an oath upon your feet. I have not done anything wrong. Even though, again and again, I struck him with a garland of lotus flowers, that dark boy would not give up the pleasure of approaching me. Purnamasi angrily looks at Radha and says, Beautiful, bewildered girl, why did you not do something more ferocious to stop him? Radha angrily says, My dear mother, what can I say to you? Krishna is so cruel that he often attacks me on the street. And if I want to cry out very loudly, this boy with a peacock feather on his head immediately covers my face, so I cannot cry. And if I want to go away from the scene because I am afraid of him, he will immediately spread his arms and block my path. And if I piteously fall down at his feet, then this enemy of the Madhu demon in an angry mood, he bites me. Just try to understand my situation and do not unnecessarily be angry with me. Instead, tell me how I can save myself from these terrible attacks of Krishna. Purnamasi says, Her love for Krishna, the tree of her love for Krishna, does not shake at its roots. Then she says openly now, changing her mood, she says, O playful girl, how simply by desiring him will you make this rascal Krishna enter the pathway of your eyes? For now, your only pastimes are in the middle of glistening flames that burn you as snow burns a lotus flower. Radha, thinking of Krishna, says, Alas, alas, why do we crooked-hearted girls think that you are a volcano burning with great flames? She's speaking of Krishna. Please honor the words of our friends and become marked with playfulness. And please allow me to see your splendid youthful form. And please cool the fire that's now burning in my eyes. And Purnamasi glances very lovingly at Radha and says, Child, Come for a moment into this solitary garden of flowers and write a letter. Then your two friends will carry that letter to Krishna. Accompanied by Lalita and Vishakha, Radha exits. Purnamasi walks a little and she says, Nandamukhi, Krishna is not very far away. The mooing of his cows fills the southern sky. I will go and take my bath. Then Purnamasi and Nandamukhi exit. Krishna enters. Very anxious, he says, from the moment that abode, splendid like new lightning, suddenly filled my eyes with wonder, my heart fell into a whirlpool of rapt meditation, and now my heart has renounced all happiness. He says, I sent my friend to bring a Gunja necklace. Why does he delay? Suddenly Madhu Mangal comes in carrying a garland in his hand. And he says, why is my friend so unhappy? So be it. In time I will know why. Then Madhu Mangal walks up to Krishna and he says, seeing Krishna, looking at a vine blooming with many golden champak flowers, Krishna trembles. I think Radha decorates a picture drawn in Krishna's mind. Then he approaches Krishna with the garland that he has brought. And Krishna doesn't notice him. And then he says, please take. And he offers the garland to Krishna, and Krishna puts the garland on. But actually, before he puts the garland on, as if he had not heard, he is thinking of Radha, and he thinks, when will Radha become a decoration on my chest? Madhu Mangal says, my guesses and speculations have now borne fruit. He's heard it. He says, dear friend, why do you not see me, even when I stand before you and call out to you? Oh, Krishna conceals his emotions and says, friend, entranced by the beauty of this flowering champak vine, I did not notice you. Madhu Mangal says, you speak the truth. And why were you looking at this winding champak vine? Krishna says, I cannot find where this winding vine starts. Madhu Mangal says, friend, for a moment, please stop this crookedness and speak plainly. Why is your heart now desolate like a desert? Krishna says, friend, I have no garland. Madhu Mangal is still holding the garland. Madhu Mangal says, you should say, I have no girl, not no garland. Krishna says, that is a foolish suspicion. Madhu Mangal says, look, you do not know that your peacock feather has fallen from your head. You do not see that the garland has fallen from your neck. O youthful elephant, these events are caused by the great power of the eyes who have seen Radha. Krishna says, how does this rascal understand everything? Why try to fool him? And then openly he says, yes, what you say is true. Radha has transformed my heart. Madhu Mangal says, perhaps you two have never met before. Madam Krishna says, oh friend, whenever the cooling, splendid moon of her face begins to walk on the path of my eyes, my mother, speaking millions of curses, stubbornly brings me home for supper. Madam Mangal says, friend, there are many beautiful gopis. Why do you love only Radha with such fervor? Krishna says, Sakha, uncommon sweetness resides in Radha. My dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is that since I have seen the lotus eyes of Radha, I have developed a tendency to spit at the moon and lotus flowers. Madhu Mangal says, when I first saw you, I could guess that you had fallen in love. But why do you say that Radha is so beautiful, Krishna? If you think about her, you will know something of her great glory. If great souls love a person, you should know that that person is very glorious. The presence of black deers glorifies any place where they stay. Then Lalita, offstage, says, "Friend, friend, do you see the prince of the gopas?" Krishna says, "Friend, that's a girl's voice. Let's be very quiet." Lalita and Vishakha enter, and Lalita says, "Look, by divine arrangement, Krishna stands before us. Let us go to him." They have a letter. They say, "Glory, glory to the bliss of Gokul." Krishna says, "Lalita, I think you must have come to Vrindavan forest to pick many beautiful flower petals." Lalita says, "By saying pick instead of give, you hide the truth. Please take this lotus petal." She places the letter in Krishna's hand. Krishna says aside, he says, "O heart, be peaceful, be happy. I think this flower petal grew from the seed of your desire." Then Madhu Mangal says, "Lalita, what is the use of this leaf, simply full of letters? Better you give us a leaf with sugar candy in it." Krishna says, "Friend, read the letter. This letter is a cup full of nectar for our ears." Madhu Mangal says, "Friend, we have all seen the generosity of you cowherd men. However, because we were sumptuously fed by the wives of the yagyic Brahmins, I will begin by offering respectful obeisances to the Brahmins." And Madhu Mangal offers obeisances to himself, and then he reads the letter. He says, "Oh, dearly beautiful, the artistic loveliness of your picture is now impressed upon my mind. Since you are now living within my mind, wherever I wish to run, because I am agitated by impressions of you, I find that you, O my friend, are blocking my way." Krishna says, "Friend, this verse is very difficult to understand. Please read it again." Madhu Mangal reads the letter again. Then Krishna becomes very blissful and says to himself, "Saintly girls are very afraid to break the rules of morality. Therefore, I think that her love must be very great." Then, excited, Krishna openly says, "Look! Look! And accompanied by all my loving friends following the cows and averse to hearing about women, I wander in the forest. Now these loose girls should not be allowed to pollute us. Quickly, I will go and complain to the Gopa elders." Then with feigned indignation, Krishna starts strutting up and down, walking backwards and forwards. Madhu Mangal, with a concealed smile, he says, "Oh, crest jewel of the brahmacharis, think for a moment, and then defeat these foul-mouthed gopis with your words. Chase them away. I myself will tell Gokul's queen everything about these shameless girls." Then Madhu Mangal touches Krishna's hand for a moment. Surprised and bewildered, Lalita and Vishakha exchange glances. Krishna says, "Friend Vishakha, Radha has never seen me with her two eyes, and I have never seen her with my two eyes. What obstacle stands between us? I will follow you, but I think it must be some other boy that has captured her heart. Vishakha says, in the circle of Vraj, who is great and powerful like you? With a small particle of your inconceivable power, you lifted Govardhan Hill. And then you lifted the great mountains that are the saintly gopis' hearts. O boy with the lotus eyes, you are the person in this letter. Mother Mangal says, talkative girl, stop. I myself saw how the cowherd men with their upraised sticks held up Govardhan Hill. So why do you praise my dear friend Krishna in this way? He did not hold up the hill alone. Krishna, Lalita, this is too much talking. Please stop. Lalita, handsome one, you delight everyone in Gokul. Why must this one girl suffer because of you? Krishna says, my companion Madhumangal does not tolerate any deviation from the path of piety. And Sridhar is busily searching for my faults, and he does not even sleep. Cruel Kamsa harshly rules this country. O bewildered girl, in these circumstances, how is it possible for me to fearlessly make a pious and beautiful girl burn in flames of anguish? Lalita says, our hearts are so polluted by miserable conditions that we are certainly going to hell. Nevertheless, Krishna does not give up his beautiful, loving smiling, which is full of cheating tricks. O Srimati Radharani, you are very intelligent. But how could you have developed such a great longing affection for this deceitful boy from the neighborhood of the cowherds? And then Lalita begins to cry. Mother Mangal says, bewildered, beautiful girl, Krishna is learned in all the scriptures. He is our friend and our counselor. Why would he disobey the rules of morality? What is the use of all your words? Words that are like crying in the forest. Vishakha says, this garland, she's carrying a garland of gunja. She says, this garland was worn by Radha. I will give it to Krishna. By observing his response, I will understand his actual feelings for Radha. Then openly she says, may this very beautiful red and black gunja necklace gracefully hang around your neck. And she places the garland around Krishna's neck. And there's a secret message here. She says, may virtuous Radha, whose mouth chants the name of Krishna and who loves you, hang around your neck like this gunja garland. Krishna smiles and then he pretends again to be angry, but he's quite bewildered. And he says, although these gunja berries are red, very hard and gracefully round, they are both crooked and unripe. I do not wish this garland. And he takes off the garland suddenly. But he also, in his bewilderment, he takes off the garland that Madhu Mangal gave him, the flower garlands. He takes off the two at the same time and he hands them back to Lalita, as if very angry. Vishakha says, Krishna's bewilderment is our good fortune. She takes the garland and wraps it up very carefully in her cloth to take back to Radha. And Lalita says, destiny has shown us the unflinching celibacy of a snake who loves millions of gopis. We should both go and stop Radha, who has fallen in love with a very unsuitable boy. And Vishakha says, what you say is right. And Lalita says, take this Gunja necklace to our dear friend and comfort her, and I will go and explain everything to Purnamasi. And out they go. And Madhav Mangal turns to Krishna, a little confused, and he says, friend, this girl adores you. Why don't you adore her? You are building a staircase that leads up a mountain of regret. Krishna says, friend, what you say is true. It was not right for me to mock that girl. Madhav Mangal says. Then Krishna continues and says, but upon hearing of my cruelty, moon-faced Radha may establish some kind of tolerance in her heart. But then she might also turn against me. Or indeed, being fearful of the lusty desires invoked by the formidable bow of Cupid, she might even give up her life. Alas, I have foolishly uprooted the soft creeper of her desire just when it was ready to bear fruit. Madhav Mangal says, now what will be our shelter? Krishna says, I do not see any shelter. But I can write a letter and answer her. Madhav Mangal says, what will we use to write your letter? Krishna says, a letter scented with roses would bring her under my spell. Madhav Mangal says, then let us go nearby to Prakasanand Tirtha, which is decorated with a great forest of roses. And they leave to go to this place. Meanwhile, Radha is now feeling very, 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 very sad. She is saying, although he is now neglecting me, I am so sinful that I am still living. And Vishakha says, please, my friend, please be comforted, be comforted. And she places the Gunja necklace to Radha's nose. And Radha says, in the beginning it made me almost fall unconscious. But now, why does this wonderful necklace revive me from that unconsciousness? Vishakha then gives the garland to Radha and says, friend, the sandalwood paste on this garland is from Krishna, who does not know the inconceivable power of this. Radha says, Krishna, who has all these glorious virtues, neglects this body of mine, a body that is better off dead. Why do I shamelessly keep this body alive? I will drown it in the water of the Kaliya Lake. And then she says openly to Vishakha, Vishakha, please tell my superiors that desiring to worship the sun god, I've gone to Dwadasa Ditya Tirtha. Vishakha says, yes, my friend. I well remember that Jyotila's order was to go and worship the sun god. So let's go together. Radha says, although Krishna neglects me, the hostile and unfulfillable hope to attain him burns me still. Friend, the deep water of the Jamuna, who is the sister of the king of death, is now my only shelter. Vishakha says, look at the auspicious signs appearing on our path and don't say that anymore. Radhika looks ahead and says, why did the sun suddenly set in the east before it is time? Vishakha says, the sun didn't set, but it is the beautiful roses of Prakasanand Tirtha. Roses dear to the sun god, they are splendid in bloom. So let us pick some roses and make some rose water. Meanwhile, Krishna says, you see these roses? These roses are thieves who have stolen their beauty from Radha's lips, Mother Mangal says. Press the juice of these roses and write a reply to Radha's love letter. Krishna trembles and he says, this is not the valley of Mount Sumeru, so why do I see a golden luster spreading in every direction? Ah, the sound of many jeweled anklets tells me that the goddess of beauty must have entered Vrindavan forest to enjoy pastimes. Mother Mangal says, now the deer has placed her foot in the trap. Krishna says, oh friend, you understand this very well. Let us hide behind these trees and hear what they say. And they stand behind the trees. Radhika comes in, weeping and weeping. She rests her hand on Vishakha's shoulder and she says, when you talk, you should remember this person. Shaka is also weeping. She says, friend, everyone says that you are grave and patient and full of all other virtues. Why are you so upset? Radhika, this rogue has robbed all my virtues. His chest is like a dam that stops the river of my patience. His face is like a moon that withers the lotus flower of my pious deeds. And his arms are like pillars that drive away my shyness. And the crooked snake of his glance devours everything. Krishna says, beloved, stunned by your sweetness, Krishna has also lost all his virtues. Radhika folds her hands in the direction of the sky. She says, oh Krishna, oh killer of Putana, I was engaged in my own playful activities in my home. And because of my childish innocence, I did not know right from wrong. Therefore, is it good for you to have forced us into being so attracted to you and then to have neglected us? And now you are indifferent to us. Do you think that this is right? Krishna says, beloved, who desiring to remain alive will ignore the medicinal herb that cures his illness? Radha sighs and says, friend, please wear my favorite necklace. And she removes the necklace from her neck. Vishakha stops Radha and says, why do you set me on fire in this way? I am only waiting for Lalita. And Vishakha starts to cry. And Radha says, my dear friend, if Krishna is unkind to me, there will be no need for you to cry. For it is all due to my fault. It is not due to any fault of yours. And then I shall then just have to die. But afterwards, please, do one thing for me. To observe my funeral ceremony, place my body with its two arms embracing a tamal tree like creepers, so that I may remain forever in Vrindavan undisturbed. That is my request. Krishna, weeping, says, friend, how great her love is. Then Radha says, passionate longings make me go quickly. And then says, after worshipping the sun god, there is one more thing I wish to ask of you. After I have gone, pick one flower for each time I have visited here. and she takes one or two steps in the direction of the holy Tirtha, and again she speaks to herself and she says, "Alas, never again will I see Krishna, whose face is like the moon and who enchants the three worlds." Oh, then full of longing, she returns to Vishakha and says, "Please be kind to me, Vishakha. Show me the picture." Vishakha says, "Friend, there's no paper here to draw a picture." Radhika says anxiously, "Then I will make him appear in my meditation." And she becomes wrapped in meditation. She closes her eyes. Krishna says, "Friend, my ears have just drunk a sweet nectar that I have never drunk before. Let us go before them." And they both do that. Vishakha suddenly sees Krishna and Madhu Mangal, and she becomes very joyful, and she says in great respect, "Friend, by destiny your happy meditation has borne its fruit. Open your eyes at once." Radhika slightly opens her eyes and becomes filled with wonder. Vishakha says, "The boy for whose sake you fell into the devastation of love and for whose sake you made your delicate body burn in flames of love. The boy who wears a new peacock feather, that playful boy who is the master of your life, now stands before you." Radhika says, "Oh, how sweet this dream is." Vishakha says, "Oh, unbeliever, without sleeping, you never dreamt like this before." Krishna says, "Her eyes shoot glances. This girl defeats the sweetness of a lotus flower." Krishna then says, "Vishakha, I looked everywhere for you, and now I see you. A girl just like you bewildered me and robbed me of my rare garland and my unripe gunja necklace." Madhu Mangal says, "Take your Rangana garland from Radha's neck. I see it there." Krishna says, "Friend, you know all about this. Still, that was not very good advice. Even in a dream, I cannot remember the touch of such a beautiful girl." Radhika says, aside, "Although Krishna is joking, I fear he tells the truth about me." Then Vishakha laughs and says, "O great ocean into which the rivers of many beautiful girls flow, stop, stop. With the waves of your sidelong glances, you attract the gopis' hearts. You attract the gopis and then you enjoy them." Krishna says, "When Srimati Radharani smiles, waves of joy overtake her cheeks, and her arched eyebrows dance like the bow of Cupid. Her glance is so enchanting that it is like a dancing bumblebee moving unsteadily due to intoxication. That bee has bitten the whorl of my heart." And Krishna is just about to step forward to take back his garland when a voice is heard off stage, a very loud and angry voice. It is Jyotila. She calls out, "Granddaughter Vishakha." Krishna says, why has Jyotila come here so unexpectedly? And Jyotila enters the stage and says to herself, "Why is Krishna here?" Then she says, "Vishakha, why did you forget the incense, sandalwood paste, and fragrances?" Krishna says, "Just as a chakora bird is about to drink the moonlight, a mass of clouds covers the moon." Then he says openly, "O wife of my mother's maternal uncle, I offer respects to you." Jyotila says, "Charming boy, do not look at the young gopis with such crooked eyes." Mother Mangal says, "O lady, hard as Indra's thunderbolt, my dear friend's glance is always kind and gentle. It is your eyes who are squinting. Therefore, you should grant a benediction to yourself that your eyes may no longer squint." Jyotila says, "O snake, chasing young girls, you have come here?" And Krishna says, "O noble lady, who would not be attracted by the wonderful beauty of these roses?" Jyotila says, "Noble Mukhara told me that Krishna was here. Charming boy, please leave at once." Krishna says, "O talkative old lady, why are you so agitated? I will leave when I wish." Jyotila looks at Krishna with crooked eyes and says, "Look here. Filled with all charm and sweetness in the world is my beautiful young daughter-in-law here. And look there. O mischievous boy with dancing eyes, you are by her side. Why should I not be anxious?" Krishna says, "Needlessly suspicious old lady, please don't talk like that. By listening to your daughter-in-law, I have only made her more respectable." Jyotila says, turns to Vishakha with her crooked eyes and says, "Vishakha, why are you here?" Vishakha says, "Noble lady, I saw this mischievous deer and I became filled with wonder." Glancing at a deer, she says, "Oh, merciless deer, why do you abandon your mate who loved you and stayed by your side and now aimlessly wander leaping and playing from forest to forest?" Jyotila looks at her and says, "Foolish, whimsical girl, give up this infatuation with the deer." Madhu Mangal says, "Dear friend, look, a thirsty young parrot will not get to touch the sweet pomegranate." Krishna smiles and says, "O pomegranate fruit, this parrot, his heart struck by your beautiful redness, wonders, is this fruit ripe or not?" In his commentary, Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti says that Krishna compares himself to the parrot and Radha to the pomegranate, and he wonders whether Radha's ecstatic love is now ripe. Vishakha casts a crooked glance at Radha, and Radha says, "O heart, be still," and secretly laments in Sanskrit, saying, "I have not yet drunk the nectar of Krishna's words, and I have not yet glanced at his face from the corner of my eyes. O friend, after a long time, I have finally this chance to enjoy pastimes with Krishna. But now, alas, wicked fate, using this old lady as its tool, stands in my way." Jyotila says quietly to herself, "How glorious is the sight of Krishna. It is not a calamity that my daughter-in-law is in Krishna's company." Then she says openly, "Vishakha, look, the afternoon is ending. Let us hurry to the sun god's temple immediately." And she ushers the two girls out and all of them leave. And Krishna says to Madhu Mangal, "Oh, my dear friend, this girl is like moonlight that follows the full moon. Let us go and see Purnamasi." And Krishna and Madhu Mangal exit, and that ends Act 2 of Vidagdha Madhava.